everybody, and welcome to this week's AEW Dynamite Review Show here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is November 11th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and we are talking about the go-home episode for Full Gear that goes down this Saturday. We got a whole lot to get into regarding that. We're going to have a preview show hopefully coming up later today, maybe tomorrow morning, with either a Zach Smith, an Ashley Mann, a somebody. I meant to reach out a little bit more, but I have just been all over the place. But we are going to make sure we get some kind of preview show out for you guys later today and or tomorrow. And yeah, a lot to look forward to with Full Gear coming up Saturday and a bunch that went on tonight on Dynamite, or excuse me, last night on Dynamite that we are going to talk about right here on the Dynamite Review Show. So if that's what you were looking for, you're in the right place, and we are going to get into all of that right after this.
Came to AEW to dominate.
Number one, Jack Perry. Nobody is gonna take this away from me. This is mine once again.
All right, everybody. I hope you have all had a wonderful week this week. It is Thursday. We are talking about last night's Dynamite, obviously. Otherwise, you are in the wrong place if you're looking for something else here. But we've got a whole lot to get into with AEW's Full Gear coming up Saturday. Super excited about a lot of that stuff on that card. However, that preview podcast, like I said earlier, is coming later on. However, if you'd like to hear this podcast, that podcast, so many other podcasts here on the WWE podcast feed thing, group, page, you can get all of these shows ad-free if you want to subscribe for $1 a month on Patreon. All of these shows ad-free. You can do $2.99 on iTunes. You get all of this stuff ad-free, including other exclusive content. There are a bunch of other tiers on Patreon as well that I am not prepared enough to be able to rattle them off to you here. So go check them out yourself if you are interested in all of that stuff. But a whole bunch of good opportunities to get all of these shows ad-free. And who wouldn't want that? Because ads are the worst. However, we all need them. They do make this world go round. So, all right, guys, with all that being said, that's my Patreon plug. That's my iTunes plug. Let's just get into last night's Dynamite. A bunch of stuff that kind of felt very, I don't want to say inessential, but, you know, I don't think this is going to be our longest Dynamite review show. I think we're not really going to talk about a lot of the kind of less important stuff that went on, including the continuous feud between Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy that seems to be like rivaling Baron Corbin, Roman Reigns status, guys, in one of the longest feeling feuds of all time. But there's a bunch of stuff that kind of, again, we're just probably going to skim over here. And we do have another podcast coming out later on, like I said, and we're going to get way more. You're going to get way more of your AEW fix with the preview for Full Gear and obviously the review with Full Gear that's coming up, and then we'll be back obviously next Thursday talking about Dynamite. However, if you like to watch other shows besides Dynamite, including WWE or all that stuff, we've got other shows on this show that you can listen to. We've got other shows on the show. We have other shows on this podcast that you can also listen to, including we've got a SmackDown review with Michael Ritter. We've got a Raw review with Matt. We've got a NXT review with Zach Smith. We've got Amanda doing the news briefs. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. I'm sure I missed somebody. But Mailbag, Nostalgia, I think it's just only exclusive to Patreon and or iTunes. A bunch of stuff that you can tune into if you are just a pro wrestling nerd like ourselves on this podcast. So go check out all of those. If you hate my voice, if you don't hate my voice, if you just like a nice diverse version of voices, go check out all of those shows. And if you watch those shows too and would like to hear analysis upon those as well. However, this is the fun side of the pond. This is the best wrestling company. This is AEW we talk about here. So let's get right into it and start with the opening of the show, which is like seemingly the workhorse of all of professional wrestling right now, guys. I kind of want to look up how old he is because I feel like that's kind of my gimmick here. And I don't know how old he is. But Bryan Danielson is 40 years old. Oh, his birthday is 2 days after mine. Well, you know, about a couple years before mine. But and he's only a couple inches taller than me, too. Brian Lloyd Danielson, spouse, Brie Bella. They got married in 2014, in case any of you are curious. Children, Buddy Desert Danielson. Is his name really Buzzy? But is it desert? Oh, it's not dessert. Okay, guys, a little dyslexic. Sorry, we're getting on so off track here, but I'm just curious. Is his middle name really desert? Oh my gosh, it is. That's interesting. Okay, well, he's cute. All right. Anyways, what were we talking about? We were talking about pro wrestling, right? Yeah, we were talking about pro wrestling. All right. Anyways, this show, Dynamite, kicked off with the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, versus Rocky Romero from New Japan Professional Wrestling, of course. And a little shout out to, you know, the way that AEW seems to be. I was a little worried about this in the beginning with a lot of these quote unquote forbidden door like crossovers that were going on. I felt like AEW was kind of getting like all the good stuff and they didn't seem to be not promoting, but just like holding up their end of the bargain for a lot of these other shows. You know, we had Kenta from New Japan a while back with Jon Moxley. We seemed to always get the Good Brothers from Impact, but it just didn't feel like, besides Kenny Omega going over to Impact, really just for like a couple matches, a pay-per-view, like he really wasn't there nearly as much for being the world champion. It felt like all these other shows were kind of getting the short end of the stick, and it seems like AEW has heard that. I'm not the only one who has had that opinion, and seems like they're really kind of making a change in that direction. Little things like talking about, obviously, Chaos Project and Orange Cassidy becoming a part of Chaos Project. I think they said Wardlow even later on. Am I making that up? I don't know. I could totally be making that up. But just interesting to see, obviously, the integration. Cool to watch all, you know, it makes me as a person want to watch more New Japan Professional Wrestling, and that's the whole purpose of these kind of partnerships. So whatever AEW is doing it right. Whatever New Japan is doing it's right. It's kind of nice to see AEW. I had this thought the other day. Okay, total sidetrack, guys. I know I said we're going to like just kind of skim through all of this stuff, but total sidetrack. I had this thought the other day. I was letting the dog out. And I, of course, as we all do, if we're professional wrestling fans, you just randomly think of professional wrestling things and matches and whatever. I had a weird thought. I was driving home yesterday and I thought about that triple threat match between Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and John Cena. Where at the beginning of the match, Shawn Michaels just like super kicks Triple H out of the ring. And he like falls out of the ring so perfectly. And then John Cena does his little stupid, you know, shocked face for like 20 minutes. I had that image of that actual like, you know, it play like a gif over and over in my head for like 20 minutes on the way home from work a couple days ago. That's just what being a professional wrestling fan is, I guess. But okay, sidetrack to the sidetrack. Okay, coming slowly back on track here. I had this weird random thought the other day where I was like, you know, WWE gets so much flack for really taking over the wrestling business and you know, crushing a lot of the indie scenes and the smaller, like, you know, all the smaller territories and all of that, but like taking over and making it so like professional wrestling has really become a monopoly. And I was thinking, gosh, is AEW doing that too? Like, are they like the other version of that? You know what I mean? With all taking all of these, and they're not taking all of these, but a lot of these indie guys are coming up to AEW. Like, what is the independent scene around the world going to look like if there's even more places, like major league places to wrestle? Again, this is just like, I didn't really give this a lot of thought, passing thought. So none of these, like, this might have no weight or hold to it at all. But then I thought to myself afterwards, I was like, wait, AEW has been partnering with Impact here, New Japan. We've seen other places, AAA, obviously. In building up other promotions, not just tearing them down and trying to take their top stars and then like acting like they don't exist. And this was just another cool example of that. Again, being able to see Rocky Romero in the opening match, which is obviously a coveted spot in AEW, the opening match on Dynamite, the ad-free slot. And so watch an awesome match with him and Bryan Danielson. Obviously, they explain the history between him and Bryan Danielson. Rocky Romero, I am not familiar enough with him, but he was an incredible professional wrestler from what I saw in the match last night. They had amazing chemistry, obviously. Seems like something like, it's just like riding a bike. You kind of just, or as CM Punk said, it is just like riding a very violent bicycle. But when you have chemistry with somebody, like they had mentioned Bryan Danielson and Rocky Romero having plenty of matches in the past, you always have chemistry with them. So this was a fun opening match to watch. Again, did it have a lot of meaning? No, it was just another stat padding thing for Bryan Danielson. I honestly think this could have been on like a Rampage, even a Dark. To me, I've seen, you know, I understand I understand kind of the opening match has been more of a, you know, Hangman Page. Brian Danielson is kind of on a similar route that Hangman Page was on for a while. He was just having all these amazing opening matches. He was just opening Dynamite every single week during the pandemic and having these incredible matches that, again, how much did they really mean? But they did mean a lot because we were, like, looking ahead to the goal of Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega. Kind of feels like Brian Danielson is on the exact same path. If it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm fine with this too, and watching Brian Danielson wrestle is always a privilege. And, you know, like I said before, the man is 40 years old. I will take every match that he wrestles at this point as a privilege. The only other thing I will point out is Matt Hardy is watching from the crowd because Orange Cassidy is in the back, is obviously entered with Rocky Romero being a new part of Chaos Project, and the best friends as well. I don't care. We're going to talk about this later on the show, I guess, because we kind of have to cover it. But I just don't care, guys, at this point. Though I will say Matt Hardy has some pretty nice suits. Some pretty nice suits. So I'll give him that. I feel like I tear Matt Hardy a new one all the time here. But so Brian Danielson does end up getting the victory with a submission, a Tequila Sunrise, and really quick tap out. I almost felt like they botched it at first. But then when I watched it back, because I do, you know, as a real nerd, I will go back and watch these matches again, just like... We literally just watched it. My fiance would be like, why are you rewinding? I'm like, well, you don't understand. I want to watch it again from this perspective, or I want to watch it again from this, or I want to watch it again to notice this part that they pointed out and I didn't see, or I heard someone talk about it like this. I want to watch it with thinking about it like that. Weird stuff, but only people who get it will get it. So, yeah, it was cool to watch. Cool to see a different kind of, like, finish. I know it was another submission tap out victory for Brian Danielson, but it was cool to watch somebody, like, tap out right away. Yeah, you're in a really painful submission. You can see you're not going to get out of it. Like, there's no way. Why would you not tap out right away? Especially to a guy who's going to let go of it right away like Brian Danielson. So the last thing I'll say is there was a really cool chain part in this match where there was like a reversal and Brian Danielson reversed one of these moves that Romero was doing into that little stomping on the face thing. And I was like, oh, that is just like the fluidity of some of these movements. This man is 100% the greatest wrestler in the world right now, in my opinion, right? 21st century, Brian Danielson could be considered the greatest wrestler in the world. So... there was also a part I liked where they got to the ropes after an armbar and Brian Danielson just kicked him in the ribs. And I was like, you're kind of a prick and you're going to be a great heel when we get to that point. But yeah, really, really just fun Brian Danielson opening match stuff. Not much more to analyze other than that. But I did really enjoy this match. So, all right, moving on. We were having Tony Schiavone introduce the Inner Circle from the ring. Not much to talk about here, guys. AEW has this problem for me. It moves so quickly, right? Like, bada-bing, bada-boom, bada-bing, bada-boom. Like, we just cut from A to B, A to B, A to B, A to C, you know. And when we... Similar to how I talk, I guess. But when we... Like, when it holds at a certain point for a while, and I'm thinking about specifically... Big Show had some match a little while ago, and it was, like, on... I think it was against QT Marshall, was it? Marshall? Maybe it was. I don't know. But the camera stayed on him too long after the match, and I was like, why are we watching Big Show for an extra 1 to 2 seconds or whatever? And AEW, you know, they don't waste a single second on that show, or try not to, with at least, you know, like I said, we cut from A to B to C really quickly. And then he got attacked by the Gun Club. Similar to this, the Inner Circle was kind of waiting on the stage. I'm still waiting to see that payoff. Anybody else? Maybe some of you watched Dark. Let me know whatever happened with the Gun Club and Big Show saga. Excuse me, Paul White. I said Big Show that entire time. The Paul White Gun Club saga that everybody was all clearly interested in. But otherwise, what my whole point was is the Inner Circle were on the stage for a while here, waiting for way longer than they normally do. And I was like, what's going on? And right as I have that thought of something's not right here, bada bing, bada boom. I don't know why I'm saying that so much today, but I guess that's just where we're at. The American Top Team come out and beat him up, and some of those elbows being thrown on Chris Jericho, I forget the guy's name, but they looked really bad. Really bad, but hopefully, essentially, American Top Team beat down the Inner Circle. We had, with the help of Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, Dan Lambert put Chris Jericho through a table, put him in the walls of Jericho, yelled about how it's a Boston Crab. Scorpio Sky, like, forced him to tap out. Whatever. It was a beatdown on the Inner Circle, and some of it looked better than other parts. I think this match is going to be a lot of fun. I think a lot of this buildup has been sketchy with some of the, you know, boomer comments we were getting, I think, from the likes of Chris Jericho and Dan Lambert. However, I think everybody means well. I'll put it that way. I think everybody means well. I think everybody's just, you know, when you make a joke and it's kind of offensive, but you really weren't trying to be offensive. You were just like, you were just trying to be funny. I don't know. I do that all the time. So I just have a lot of experience with that. I can empathize with Chris Jericho. Sometimes my mouth is just like too big for my brain. And so I think there's been a lot of iffiness to the build of this, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And this was just a nice beatdown segment to get the heat on American Top Team, Dan Lambert, obviously. And it's going to be even more satisfying when the Inner Circle beat the crap out of Dan Lambert, specifically. They did make the promise that Dan Lambert was going to pin Chris Jericho on Saturday at Full Gear. So I'm excited to see how this all unfolds. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. This is a little preview talk, I guess. And I'll try to save the rest of it for when we sit down for the preview podcast. But I'm a little nervous to see how, you know, all of these guys who have like no experience in the ring, your Junior Dos Santos and your, is it Andre Arlovski? Is that his name? I forget. Are going to do in like a 10-man street fight. It's a lot of organization and knowing where to be at certain times. So I'm curious to know how that whole thing is going to go, but nonetheless, I'm looking forward to it. This is really hot. The crowd is really into it. So objectively you have to notice that kind of stuff. So that was that segment. Moving on, we had the women's 6-man tag team match. And I thought this was my favorite. This is one of my favorite 6-women tag team matches, which I know is a very specific topic, but I feel like we get a lot of them on Dynamite. This is one of my favorite women tag team matches, period. Let me put it that way. Anna Jay, Ty Conti, and Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Rebel, not Reba. We got a great moment between Thunder Rosa and DMD in the ring towards the beginning of the match, and then obviously she bails out and tags in Rebel. We had a great back and forth between Ty Conti and actually Rebel, oddly enough. And there was a good back and forth as well between Jamie Hayter and Ty Conti. I thought this match didn't outstay its welcome. I thought it was good. I would have liked another women's match on this card. It would have been nice if they put a TBS tournament match, like, I don't know what, I can't think of the tournament off the top of my head, but just another women's match on top of this that would have really, I feel like, solidify the effort that they're putting into the women's division for me. But again, no, we have a maximum of one women's match on a Dynamite because that's how this works here. But I thought this match was really good. For the most part, I think, you know, the picture-in-picture break helped for sure break it up and break out the lull moments of what can happen in a 6-woman tag team match or a 6-man tag team match. However, at the end of the day, Ty Conti gets the pinfall with the Hammerlock DDT or DD Ty, excuse me. But it was a really cool moment. Britt Baker comes up, looks at Ty Conti in the ring with Rebel, goes in to make the save, and then stops herself, has this great, like, great facials, guys, great facials. Not just because she's a beautiful woman, but just, like, great facials. And then backs out of the ring and goes up the stage, lets Rebel take the Hammerlock DD Ty, and Ty Conti, like I said, gets the pinfall. And it was a really good 6-woman tag. I really enjoyed this. And the way I judged it, knowing I not just that the match was good in itself, but this was a good promotion for Saturday night, which, by the way, the women's championship match has been a terrible build. Very terrible. I did like the dovetail booking I talked about last week a bit, but still, this has been minimal to no effort. Ty Conti is not going to win. We all know that. She is, at very least, she is not even a credible challenger. She doesn't feel like she could even be a champion. I know a lot of people like Ty Conti. I know she's a fan favorite, but just there hasn't been any build, no story being told. So, however, I did like this match, and the reason I felt like this match was a success was because I left the match wanting to see the title match on Saturday more than I did going into this match. So, success all around for me, and we will talk about more of the women's title match on the preview show. We get a video package for Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander, and I like that. It was a different one than the last time, too, so you guys know, any effort for the women's division, I am all about it. We had Anthony Bowens versus Jungle Boy. Max Caster made a great rap on the way to the ring, and I'm not even going to go over all of it, but if you guys didn't watch the show for any reason, again, Max Caster rarely misses with these. I know he had his controversy, but I'm always entertained, and I always look forward to it. Like, here's how I know Max Caster's got something going for him. I sit up and tune in. Like, I make sure I'm listening 100% when Max Caster gets on my screen. So, you know, he's doing something right. But this was an amazing match between Anthony Bones and Jack Perry, Jungle Boy. I thought this was really well worked. I thought Anthony Bones, with the match on Rampage against Brian Danielson and in this match, has really been showing out. It's been really cool to see him get the spotlight for a little while, obviously with Max Caster having a few matches like the match he had against Brian Pillman. However, if I was Max Caster, I would feel like I got the short end of the stick with Anthony Bones getting to wrestle Jungle Boy and Brian Danielson, and I got to wrestle Brian Pillman Jr. Not that there's anything wrong with Brian Pillman Jr., but I'm definitely learning a lot more if I'm in the ring with someone like a Brian Danielson and even a Jungle Boy who seems like he's already got a very ring general sense to him at a super, super young age. I think Jungle Boy is younger than me. And again, guys, it's kind of my gimmick, apparently, to know the ages of everybody. So Jungle Boy is 24 years old. Okay, yeah, you know, he's definitely young. And he's the same height as Daniel Bryan, or Brian Danielson. It's weird. I don't know why. I guess it's just because he's so tiny. Luke Perry. Is that the Luke Perry? Luke Perry is his dad? No way. The more you know. Da-na-na. Luke Perry from Beverly Hills, the original 90210. You guys know what I'm talking about. He's in Once Upon a Time, I think. He's in Riverdale, which I've never seen that show, but I do know of Luke Perry. No way, look at that. All right, anyways, I gotta stop doing that because I clearly seem to get distracted. But yeah, I did. I really liked this match, and I thought they did a great. I thought these guys worked a really exciting match. The crowd was clearly really into it, and they just put on a show. How much did this match mean? Not a lot. You know, it was more about the post-match, but this was just kind of fun to watch. And this is what I was trying to tell you guys about in the beginning of the show. A lot of this stuff really didn't seem to have much of an impact. I would like to see the Acclaimed versus Jurassic Express, maybe, you know, follow up with this somehow. I'd like to see Jurassic Express wrestle as a tag team more. I haven't seen just Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus wrestle in a while. Where is Marco Stunt, by the way, guys? Where is my man Marco Stunt? Miss him on my TV. He definitely makes everybody look taller. And NNT is a great addition to Jurassic Express as well. But post-match, Bobby Fish attacks Jungle Boy. Really kicks the crap out of him. Hits a really rough-looking exploder suplex into the ropes. And then Christian Cage and Luchasaurus make their way out there, make the save. We get a video package for Hangman Adam Page and the road to the AEW World Championship match against Kenny Omega. And when we come back, we have Adam Cole backstage with the Young Bucks. He's being filmed by Brandon Cutler. And this was interesting. I was not expecting this, but the Bucks say that they, Adam Cole introduces Bobby Fish to them, and the Bucks say that they know him really well, but they want to make one thing clear. There's no disputing it. It's an era of the elite, the super elite, but if Adam Cole vouches for someone and says they're cool with the Young Bucks. And then Adam Cole pitches that Bobby Fish wrestle Jungle Boy on Rampage this Friday, 2 days from now, leaving just enough of him to finish, so they can finish him off at Full Gear. So I didn't see this alliance coming, is my point. I did not see this alliance coming, but I'm all for it. I think, you know, give Bobby Fish a little direction. I don't know. I kind of like Bobby Fish. I'd like his gimmick to be like a mercenary. I think he needs a little bit more credibility under his belt. You know, I think I need to see him get a couple more wins, but I'd like for him just to be hired as a mercenary. Maybe his gimmick is like he's been doing this for long enough. He just wants to get paid, kick the crap out of people and get paid, and he likes doing it. I think that would be a great gimmick for Bobby Fish. I think Bobby Fish's like strikes and everything like that, MMA background, this cool version of Bobby Fish we get to see that we did not get to see in NXT. I think is a really interesting concept, and I really enjoy watching him wrestle. So the mercenary Bobby Fish, feel free to steal that idea, AEW, because I'm into it. And I guess you sparked the idea, so, you know, we could 50-50 it. We had a video package for CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston, which was really cool. And they had some Mid-South IWA footage of both of them, and that was interesting, too. I love AEW. These video packages and the editors and stuff go back, and they get stuff that they can get their hands on, man. And next up, we had Wardlow versus Wheeler Yuta. Nothing much to talk about here. Wardlow just powerbombed the crap out of Wheeler Yuta. This poor guy, it's like the second squash he's had in a row on Dynamite. So I'd like to see him in a competitive match, but I think Wheeler Yuta is a perfect guy for what's what he's going through right now. Wardlow hits the, I guess they called it the alarm clock in the corner from what I'm looking at now. Post-match, Hardy Family Office comes out, attacks best friends, and Matt Hardy puts the chair around Orange Cassidy's neck and then hits them with a twist of fate. Unless you're Excalibur, it's actually this side effect. I'm only joking, of course. Excalibur, by the way, quick side note as well. Excalibur has a wealth of knowledge that I could never imagine to have. He knows what every move is called ever. So all credit to him. We did have a little slip up from him here. I only know that because when I was younger, I used to love the side effect. And I also love the twist of fate for some reason. I don't know why. Probably because I love Jeff Hardy and then Matt Hardy by proxy. But yeah, Matt Hardy, Orange Cassidy, the feud that never ends. Guys, I couldn't care less. I just couldn't. Take it to dark or something. I just don't care. But let's move on over. Like, get a little creative. Get a little creative at EW. Come up with something new for Orange Cassidy. He's one of your biggest stars. Am I the only one who is sick of seeing Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy feud? We've seen the payoff matches. I'm pretty sure there's been more than one. Am I wrong? And it wasn't that good. Didn't Orange Cassidy beat Matt Hardy in a picture-in-picture break? Am I making this up? I don't know. Anyways, something I am really interested in, there's a transition to CM Punk and Eddie Kingston having a pull-apart brawl in the parking lot or the loading bay, whatever they called it backstage. Guys, this was really good. This is all I needed just to get even more fired up for what's coming on Saturday at Full Gear. They didn't need to say anything else. Obviously, they did. CM Punk just yelling that he's a bum. A lot of Ruby Soho with Eddie Kingston. I like that friendship. If that's a friendship, it's been really cute. I don't know if anybody else has noticed that, but it's hard to not notice because she has such bright hair. But Ruby Soho seems to be there backing up Eddie Kingston every single time. And I support that friendship. I really do support that friendship. But yes, so this was perfect. This was all I needed. No more talking just in regards to getting ready for Saturday. It felt heated, guys. You know, this is going to be a fun match to watch. I'm a little worried that the match is not going to live up to the hype. I just don't know if the styles are going to work well together, but I have a lot of faith. I have a lot of hope. You know, guys, I will always have faith and hope in CM Punk. And Eddie Kingston is in some true form right now. So I have no reason to be worried. I don't know. I just want the best for CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, two great, great guys. And it's just a weird fear in the back of my head that this match is not going to live up to the hype. But I hope to be very, very proven wrong. And this was to me, like I said, a perfect build for what we're getting to on Saturday. No more, no less. Goldilocks, perfect amount. And Dante Martin and Leo Rush versus Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal was next. And guys, this was so much fun. What an incredible tag team match. I could try to recap some of the moves that were done in this match, and I wouldn't even be able to name half of them. The flippy dippies and this and that, and all four of these guys made it look like they weren't just doing the spots to do the spots, right? All of it, especially Leo Rush, who showed out during this match with those little kickies on the ground and like the flippy to-dos and the cutter. It was incredible. This match was so much fun to watch. My favorite match of the night, without a doubt. And I would I'd go back and watch this match too. I think TV matches need a little bit more credit nowadays. I would definitely go back and watch this match. There were some really, really it was at the same time with all of these high spots and all these flippity dippities and the kicks and the that's and the, you know, jumping over you and leapfrogs and all that stuff. I love the acai moonsault or whatever. Throughout all that, there was a really good story being told as well. I loved the back and forth between Matt Sydal and Leo Rush. I loved the back and forth between Dante Martin and Lee Moriarty. And I loved the coaching from specifically Leo Rush to Dante Martin during the match, and I loved how amazing they looked as a tag team. I also really loved Leo Rush's outfit. I thought he looked like a doofus, and I think that was perfect. It was a perfect outfit to have. In the end, Dante Martin gets the pin with that double jump moonsault on Lee Moriarty, and you know, this is not the end for Lee Moriarty. Obviously, we're going to be seeing much more of him, I think, coming up. making his Dynamite debut, and I think we're going to see a lot more Lee Moriarty, similar to what kind of happened with Dante Martin. And I'm a big Lee Moriarty fan, guys. I think we got a lot of potential there. I think, you know, Matt Sydal is always just always a staple, always killing it here. And yeah, I love the story being told between Dante Martin. I liked and Lio Rush. I liked that this isn't going into full gear. This was kind of its own separate thing, so it didn't feel like a super go homie show. In fact, it really didn't feel. I don't know. Something about this match kind of wiped away the fact that this was even a go home show to full gear at all, which is not a bad thing, I don't think, at least for the moment. And yeah, I have, you know, 4 stars for me, guys. This was an incredible, fun match. And like I said, if you can make those spots not look spotty, you're doing something right. So, all right, last but not least, guys, last match of the night, at least, we had Dax Harwood versus Pac. And speaking of just an incredible match, I mean, this was an exact opposite of the buffet, you know, on the other side of the buffet table, which was, there was definitely a couple high spots here and there, and, like, there were great, there was that amazing brain buster off the top rope from Pac to Dax Harwood. There was a back suplex from Dax to Pac off the other turnbuckle, and some really good grappling back and forth, and that's kind of really what, a really good shotgun drop kick from Pac to Dax Harwood off the top as well. A couple of really good spots that I liked, but for the most part, this was a lot of, you know, mat wrestling back and forth, and I enjoyed that. It had a way different feel from the match before it, and that is just, I find that really keeps the show fresh, and like I'm not getting worn out from just pro wrestling match after pro wrestling match after pro wrestling match that's the same style. You know, everybody wrestles a little bit differently, and I think AEW does an amazing job of laying that out perfectly. So yeah, this was really good. I mean, we had Pac kick out of the brainbuster. That was a great near fall. And at the end, Pac ends up getting the brutalizer with a counter to the backslide. And Dax Harwood, just like earlier in the night, taps out right away because he's got that injured shoulder, which commentary did a great job of pointing that out. And Pac does not let go of it because he's Pac. And then Cash Wheeler comes out, makes a save, pulls him off. Tully holds him down. Cash beats him out. Lights go out. Malakai Black and Andrade come out. They start beating up Pac, but then the Lucha Brothers and Cody Rhodes all make their way to the ring. It's a big pull-apart brawl, nothing we haven't seen before. And I don't know if a match got announced for Rampage for this. Not Rampage, excuse me, Full Gear. I don't think it did. Maybe it's not going to Full Gear. Honestly, Cody Rhodes really seems to be really wanting that babyface role, like making the save and all that. I don't know. I kind of can't. Knowing what I know, I feel like I can't stay interested in all that. Great to see Rey Fénix and Penta. I would have liked to see a little bit more about this tag team match coming up. But I did really enjoy this match. I would have liked to see a little bit more build between Rey Fénix, Penta, and FTR probably going into Full Gear. Hopefully the match just kills it and you know, makes us forget that maybe there wasn't enough build there. Or at least enough of a reminder of the build. So, yeah, and the Cody Rhodes stuff, I don't know, how do you guys feel about Cody Rhodes right now? How does Cody Rhodes make you feel? Because to me, he looks desperate. He looks desperate for cheers, and there's nothing less attractive in a babyface than somebody who's desperate and just pandering to the crowd, whether it's literally pandering or pandering in the way that it seems like Cody Rhodes is. He's got to be the one to come in and make the save. His humble brags of, like, my wife's too hot, my house is too big, my whatever. Like, good for you, Cody. Good for you. My family's too awesome. My dad's too incredible. I don't know. I just think you should go with the flow and turn heel, guys. I just think Cody Rhodes would play a great heel, and I think you should just dive all the way into it. I don't think you can't do charity work just because you're a heel. I disagree with that. Wholeheartedly, it gives me really bad John Cena vibes, guys. All right, nonetheless, we have the Dark Order and the Elite leaving the building because they were ordered to for the contract signing. And Tony Schiavone's in the ring, preside over the signing. Hangman Adam Page comes out, then Kenny Omega. And this was very tropey to me, but I did like the back and forth dialogue at first. Like, I think some of the stuff was a little cliche with, oh, Don Callis. I forgot all about Don Callis. Did anybody else? Like, I just literally forgot he existed, which shows you maybe he's not as essential as I thought he might be. But yeah, I literally thought he disappeared. But we had Don Callis dressed up as the cameraman towards the end of the contract signing, and he hit Kenny Omega bleeding. Kenny Omega signs the contract with Hangman Page's, excuse me, he hit Hangman Page. Kenny Omega signs the contract with Hangman Page's blood somehow, and apparently that's official. But I did really like the dialogue back and forth. I don't really want to focus on that. I want to focus on what they were talking about. Hangman Page says he talks, Kenny talks a lot about him choking, but if he remembers, once upon a time, Kenny had another tag team partner that he didn't think he lived up to. But now he's the best bout machine and a champion for almost a year, and it'd be fair to say that he surpassed that partner. And I thought that was a really good place to go, a really good parallel to go on. Kenny said, he said that Kenny sold him a lot of lies about not being good enough, but the worst was last year when he beat him at the Eliminator Tournament and told him he was proud of him because he wasn't proud. He was afraid of him. He didn't want to feel the pain of loss and let it light a fire under his ass and drive him to redeem himself just like it did for Kenny Omega. And I thought, like, that's just a perfect example of what I thought they did a great job at in this back and forth, obviously, this contract signing. They told the story that they've been telling for the past couple years, kind of vaguely, but also pointing out this spot and that spot for anybody who hasn't really been paying attention for the last 2 years, which I'm sure for a lot of people is really helpful. And really, because again, there's threads out there online. There's a bunch of stuff you can read. But like for a guy or a gal or anybody who doesn't know exactly why is this feud so important? What are these two? Like, what's the big deal? I thought they'd give a really good kind of quick summary of what's been going on, and I think this is exactly what they needed to do. You know, the ending of it was the ending of it. I didn't necessarily need there were a lot of heels standing on top here at the end of things. You know, obviously with the American Top Team here, and then we had this again. This was fine. I think I would have just preferred a stare down or something like that, you know? But I think Hangman Page, right, it showed that he's just still this good guy, still wanted to shake Kenny's hand, still whatever. I did really like Don Callis' line about, like, the scariest thing or whatever the devil can do is make you forget that he exists or something like that. I thought that was a really good line, too. But I'm really looking forward to this match coming up at Full Gear, guys. I am super excited for this match, and I really did like what they did with this contract signing of kind of just laying out again what this whole feud's been about, without going into every detail ever. But I would say definitely tune into these road twos, tune into these video packages, familiarize yourself if you're not with some of these story beats. Go back and watch some of these things. I'm sure a lot of it's on YouTube with a lot of these Kenny Omega, Hangman Page story beats that if you haven't been watching AEW for a while, you definitely would like to be able to tune in and know what the heck they're talking about here. But I'm sure AEW would do a great job of video packages, all of that stuff. It's a weird balance you have to find of like not beating it over the, like not beating people over the head who have known kind of what's going on with all the story beats and look, it's right here in front of my face again. But also, you know, catering to the fan that hasn't been watching for how long and knows what's going on. It's this weird middle ground you have to find. And I think they did a great job of doing it last night. And I hope, hopefully that continues in all these video packages and stuff coming up, leading up to Saturday night Full Gear. But that was the show, guys. And with all that being said, hopefully later tonight and or tomorrow sometime, probably later tonight, I will be back with yours truly, and I don't know which co-host yet, but we will definitely have somebody. And if we won't, I will sit here and talk to my imaginary friend about AEW Full Gear that is happening Saturday. We'll have a nice preview show out for you. It's nice to be able to do a preview show a couple days in advance too, guys. Nice to be able to do that. Obviously, we probably will not have watched Rampage when we do that show, but still, there will be plenty to talk about and a lot to look forward to. It's a great time to be an AEW fan. And with all that being said, guys, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will talk to you very soon.